Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions, questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world that obviously don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love? I want to be a reflection of His love. I want to be light in this darkness. I want to be a tool in the hand of God making present His kingdom, and that's what this show is all about. So glad you could join us today. We are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's a tough gospel. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Jesus' disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did Jesus homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Wow, like I told you, it's a tough one. You hang out. We'll be right back calling the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. We all have moments in our lives that become life-changing. They shape who we are and who we will become. And one of those moments for me came in the form of a baseball. I was 8 years old, playing shortstop, hands on knees, crouched down, chatting, batter, 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 having no idea what I was doing, just trying to look cool, chewing my gum, playing baseball, when a line drive came and hit me right between the eyes, knocked me out. And my sports career ended that day. Because from that moment on, anytime a ball of any kind was headed my way, my first instinct was not to catch it, but to bat it away. So I've never been very good at sports. And when it came to picking the basketball teams in gym class in grade school, it was a particularly humiliating experience for me because I was no good. And as we stood around and everybody's thinking, "Pick me, pick me, pick me," in the end, I was always the last one left, not picked, and had to do that perp walk over to the losing team that had to take me. Don't worry, I got over it eventually, but I bring up this point to point out that a fundamental part of the human condition is that we all want to belong. We all want to be picked. We all want to feel a part of. It is our tribal nature. which is particularly challenging in the world that we find ourselves living in today because we are so divided and we are so isolated. Consider this. Just 200 years ago, if you were born 200 years ago, which, you know, given history, especially geological time, 200 years, I mean, that's nothing. 200 years ago, you would have been born into a small community, a community that depended on each other for survival. And you would have been a part of that community. Men and women working together side by side to grow food, to raise livestock, deeply involved in each other's lives. And when a woman became pregnant, all the women of the community would gather around, the mothers and the grandmothers. Some would serve as midwives at the birth. Others would be there to help raise a child. Meanwhile, the elders would pass on the wisdom of the generations. And these communities had very well-defined rules, and everybody understood what the rules were. And everybody was held accountable to a certain ethic. Meanwhile, your word was everything. And a handshake made your word a contract. Today, all that's gone. All of that is gone. Most of us don't even know the names of our neighbors. It's hard to overestimate the profound isolation created by just the iPhone itself. I mean, you see it everywhere. How many times have you walked into a coffee shop and seen tables full of people where nobody's talking to each other because everybody's looking at their phones? Maybe it might be in a doctor's waiting office, or maybe it might be at the airport, or anywhere you're in line. What happens? Immediately everybody whips out their phone to kill time, rather than speak to the person standing next to you. It's everywhere. The phone has rendered the other person optional. It's a profound isolation. And this isolation has led to great division. And our country has become divided into very distinct camps, two of them, CNN versus Fox. Us versus them. Now, I bring this up to make the point that this idea of being a part of is very much connected with our story today. It's a tough gospel, and I love the Catholic Church for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons that I love our church is that I don't get to choose what gospel I'm going to read on Sunday. That is chosen for me. Which is a good thing because it forces me to talk about things that maybe otherwise I might avoid. Like, say, for example, Jesus calling a woman a dog. I don't know. Seems like I might want to steer clear of that one, but I don't have that option. So here it is. Oh, no, let's go. Now, the line is actually, it is not right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Not that that makes it any better. It's very confusing, something that Jesus would say this. I mean, it's so harsh. It's so out of character. It doesn't sound at all like the Jesus I know. In fact, I read one commentary that said that this proves that Jesus was not sinless, which I've said, if that's true, we got a serious problem, because if Jesus is a sinner, then he cannot atone for our sin. So one could say that our very salvation is at stake today. So let's talk about this. It is not right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. What do you do with that? Well, let's begin by recognizing, as we often do on this program, that one cannot expect to understand Scripture in isolation. You can't just pick out one line and expect to understand it, any more than you can pick a book off a shelf, read one line, put the book back on the shelf, and say, okay, I got it, I understand the story. The only way you're going to know the story is to read the story. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." Now, we're in Matthew today, but the Gospel of Mark tells the same story. But it gives a little detail that's not in our Gospel today. In that district of Tyre, he entered a house, but he didn't want anybody to know about it. But he could not escape notice because the word is out. Now, Mark also tells us that this woman that approaches him today is Syrophoenician. She's a Canaanite. That means she's Greek. She's a Gentile, right? Because Tyre and Sidon are Gentile cities. Now, Sidon is up the coast from Capernaum, about 20 miles. And in the past, Israel had good relations with Sidon and Tyre. In fact, during the reign of King David and King Solomon, they were allies in their fight against the Philistines. Tyre, which is also on the coast, had a large shipbuilding operation, and they taught the Israelites how to build ships. They even shipped in building materials for the temple. So, like I said, they had good relations for a long time. But you know how these things go. In time, those relations soured. And it all had to do with a woman named Jezebel. Have you ever heard of that name, Jezebel? Well, let me tell you, she was trouble. Jezebel was trouble. She was the queen of Tyre. And when she married King Ahab, who happened to be the king of Israel at the time, she introduced idolatry into their worship, which led to the decline of Israel and ultimately the fall of Israel to Syria in 722. So there's a lot of bad blood between these people. They're mortal enemies. In fact, today, Tyre is modern-day Lebanon, where Hezbollah and Israel continue to fight. So I guess that just proves that in the end, nothing really changes. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk all about this amazing gospel, this difficult gospel, and how we can apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we had Jesus traveling through the Badlands, enemy territory, Tyre and Sidon, mortal enemies of Israel, which begs the question, why is he here? Why would Jesus go here? I mean, we see Jesus travel to many places, visiting many different towns, but, and I could be wrong, but this is the only time I know of that he travels outside of the nation of Israel. Why is he doing this? Well, I don't know for sure, but I have a theory. But let's slide that theory into the back burner, let it simmer for a while, and we will get back to it. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, as I said, Mark's telling us he's trying to get away, he's trying to go unnoticed, but, you know, word gets out that the miracle man is in town, and here she comes. And behold, a woman from that district came out and cried out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." So, who's this woman? Well, we know that she's from Cana, so she's a Canaanite. We know that she's Syrophoenician, So she is a woman, she is Greek, she's a Gentile. So right away, she's as low as you can go. She's as defiled can get. She's as pagan can get. In the mind of a Jew, she was a dirty dog. And the fact that she's coming out of a crowd and approaching Jesus is completely culturally out of the box. It is shocking. Women of that day did not approach rabbis, but she does. And not only does she approach him, she's yelling at him. Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Didn't even speak to her. She was not picked. She was not a part of. My friends, we have all had our gym class experience. Even King David cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or consider our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. And what was he met with? Silence. Because sometimes when we plead to God, we are met with silence. And the silence doesn't mean that we're not heard, doesn't mean that we're being ignored. Sometimes it means that we're just not getting the answer that we want. But silence has its purpose. Because Jesus arrives right on time according to his purpose. And I can tell you with great confidence that even though Jesus might have not said anything to this woman, he definitely heard her. Just as he hears you today. Jesus' disciples came to him and asked him, send her away, for she keeps on calling after us. So they're trying to get rid of this woman. And I can understand why. I mean, they're probably pretty nervous. I mean, remember where they are. And they're trying to kind of keep incognito, you know, everything on the down low. And this woman is bringing unwanted attention to them. So Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But that does not deter this woman. The woman comes and does homage and says, Lord, help me. Now, I want you to try to put yourself into this scene. The disciples are running defense, but she's coming for a blessing, and she ain't leaving without it. She is not taking no for an answer. She goes around the disciples to get to Jesus. Just as sometimes we must go around other people to get to Jesus. Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. Son of David. That is a messianic title. How would this pagan Gentile woman have known this? I mean, even his own disciples are kind of on the fence with this one. Son of David, how could she have possibly known that? And then here comes our line. It is not right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Wow. What do you do with that? What do you say? I mean, imagine Jesus said that to you. Well, in the case of our woman, she keeps coming. And what she says is truly amazing. She's in a moment. She says, please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the tables of their masters. Wow. And Jesus looks at her and says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed from that hour. What just happened? How can we make sense of this? Well, let's bust it down, okay? Let's start with the idea of how we communicate, how people talk. Many studies have been done in regards to communication, right? And ultimately, how the mind determines meaning in communication. And researchers have concluded that 7% of communication are the actual words. 7%. That means 93% is not. 38% is vocal, meaning like how those words are said. And that still leaves over half. 55% of all communication is nonverbal. Things like voice inflection, body language, eye contact, all of that means so much, which is why I am not a fan of texting at all. And quite frankly, as we're looking at this line 2,000 years later, we might as well be looking at a text, because we're missing a lot. Who is Jesus looking at as he's saying this? Because that's important. Is he looking at the woman, or is he looking at his disciples? Because I would suggest to you, that would make a huge difference. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I mean, in my mind's eye, and we're just talking here, okay? But in my mind's eye, I can see Jesus drawing in his disciples. He knows their prejudice. And you can see he's baiting them. I mean, because I can just see the disciples, yeah, that's right. You're only for the lost sheep. You're our Messiah. You're team us, not her. Not her, us, not them. Now, remember how earlier I had asked the question, why is Jesus even here? Why did he come to this enemy territory? And I mentioned that I had a theory. I told you we were going to get back to this, okay? Let's pull it out. Here's my theory. Why was Jesus in a pagan land? Maybe Jesus is starting to see his wider mission. Maybe this gospel is the first crack into the Gentile world. And while he understood well that it was his Father's will to start a nation with Abraham, save his people through Moses, and then guide his people with the prophets, and then bring Jesus to give the good news to them first, ultimately it would then go to the Gentile world, which is many of us. So in a very real sense, our woman today, this outsider, the one who was not picked, the one who was not a part of, is in fact us. So we should pay attention. What can we learn from this woman? This woman who knows she was not picked. This woman who knows she was not a part of. This woman who knows that Jesus owes her nothing. This woman who knows that in his mind, she is a dirty dog. She knows all of that. Yet when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on her heart, she also knows that Jesus is her only hope. And she cried out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David." Wow. This very much reminds me of our tax collector in the synagogue. Remember that guy from the back pew? What did he say? "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And when she said that, immediately she becomes a part of. She's no longer alone. "Oh, woman, great is your faith." Wow. You know, the only other person I can think of that Jesus said anything even remotely like this to was the centurion. Remember him? "No greater faith have I seen in Israel." Jesus looks at her and says, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." Why? I'll tell you why. Because she knows who he is. She knows that he is full of mercy and grace, and she trusts him. She came for a blessing, and she wasn't leaving without it. She came to Jesus. She was met with resistance, just as you will be met with resistance when you come to Jesus. But she kept coming. And she's not alone anymore. She's a part of. Because not only did Jesus give her the gift of healing, he gave her a new tribe, a new clan, a new family. And those scraps that fell from the master's table healed her daughter. As Jesus set out a banquet for her, and my friend, he is setting out a banquet for you. Remember the parable of the wedding feast. The king invited his guests, but they refused to come. So the king invites everybody from the highways and the byways. He picked them. They became a part of, and they were never alone again. My friends, we deserve nothing. None of us can stand with hands on our hips in front of Jesus expecting something. We are outsiders. We need to learn from the Canaanite woman. Let us approach our Lord with humility and cry out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David." My friends, if we are truly being honest with ourselves, we are all dogs. Let us come to Jesus. Despite the resistance we might find, let us persevere and rely on his grace and mercy. Let us accept what Jesus is offering us today so that we can become a part of. And you know, the good news about the good news is that we've already been picked. Won't you humble yourself today and join the family? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, swinging the bat of truth. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.